I think that's something that it's very Portuguese, I guess. Like, we just really care about community. We like to put people, and I guess it's more like everybody likes that, but I don't know, like having people around the table for hours and like bringing people together. That's like something that we really enjoy, you know, like, so that I think I think that's definitely something that I think it's very Portuguese, like just like the community aspect. I feel like we're very community oriented, family oriented people, and I'm like very proud of being Portuguese and have that with me.
Olá e bem-vindo. Welcome to The Simple Life, an insider's perspective into Portugal. We already know about Portugal's amazing weather, food and people. In this podcast, we go deeper and meet the real people who make this country so wonderful. Dylan, who has made his life in Portugal, shares an insider's perspective into what makes Portugal the unique, beautiful and amazing country that it is. Join him and his guests every week as they shed some light on the incredible people, culture, history and lifestyle that makes Portugal so appealing. A country where everyone feels like they belong. This podcast is sponsored by Portugal Realty. Welcome to The Simple Life.
On this week's episode, I'm joined by Marta Pen Freitas. Born and raised in Lisbon, living in the US, and a Portuguese Olympian. We discuss, amongst other things, representing her country, some of the challenges of living in the US, and Pastéis de Nata. Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of Portugal, the Simple Life. And I'm truly honored to be joined by a Portuguese Olympian, Marta Pen Freitas. Marta, hello, and thank you for being on the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a huge pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Totally. We are 7 hours apart.
Yes.
You're sitting, where in the world are you sitting right now?
So I'm currently in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm doing altitude training, so I'm going to be here for about like 8 weeks. But I'm usually between Seattle, Lisbon, and altitude in Albuquerque and like some other places around the world, basically trying to chase fast times and race.
Your Instagram is exhausting just watching it, because you're like all over the world. I've really battled to keep track. And then just the word altitude training just sounds exhausting. So rather you than me. But I'll let you know, you have a very young fan. He's 3 years old, my son. Aww. Benjamin. We saw you, we crossed paths once upon a time on New Year's Day, actually. You were doing training on the river, and I was walking with my son and my wife, and he was on his little scooter, and you were what was called the fast menina, and the very fast menina, and he said to you that you were fast like Flash. So there you go, you have a fan. But Marta, maybe you can start off by telling us a little bit about you.
So I'm a Portuguese middle distance runner. I was born and raised in Portugal. I lived in Lisbon for 21 years of my life. And then like I was like just doing everything. Like my family was very academic oriented. So I was like, you know, like in school in Portugal. And at the same time, I found this passion, which was track and field in a young age. And I was trying to do both and to do both well. And then it got to a point that it was just a little too difficult for me to do both. Or let's just say that I just had a click in my head, and I just all of a sudden I decided that I wanted to go to the next Olympic Games. And when you set goals like that with such a short period of time, you really have to like do good use of the resources you have available to you. And I just realized that, you know, maybe I would go one day to the Olympic Games, but not to the next Olympic Games if I didn't do anything super intentional. So I decided to accept one of the scholarships that was offered to me back in 2012, but I only went to the United States in 2015. I was 21. Restart a new degree, be part of the NCAA system with the dream of going to the Olympic Games and represent Portugal at the 2016 Rio Olympics. Big change, because I went to Mississippi State. So it's funny because like when you think about the United States, it's like the United States, each state is kind of like each country in Europe. Like there is so many differences, like so many like cultural like little things. And especially I never been to the United States. I didn't do a visit when I choose my school. So, you know, I whenever I landed here, it was all in. Like, just like either it's going to go well or either it's going to go well. Things didn't start great because just I was hurt, you know, like just a whole like kind of story. Like, you know, you're struggling and then you think you do this major step in life and life is going to hug you and everything's going to be amazing. But it wasn't necessarily like that. It's just I got hurt. I had to get surgery for the first time alone in like a foreign country. So that was like a little difficult. But then I just had this huge fire and this huge belief that I could, you know, I only had like then a year and a half to make Olympic team. So like trying to like do like the next best steps and like accomplish like small little goals, breaking, like taking like seconds of my PR. And well, I'm giving like really the resume story of it, the summary. But so, and then things ended up going well. I had a very successful NCAA career. I won NCAAs. I won a few other like important titles in NCAAs while I was in college here, which was only for 2 years with eligibility. And then I stayed 2 more years to finish a business degree. After I was done with my degree, I signed a professional contract with Brooks Running. And right now I'm a professional track and field runner and I'm based in Seattle. So that's a little bit the short version about like what I do, how like I moved from like Lisbon to Mississippi to Seattle. And yeah, I think, I don't know if you have any questions. This is just like I could talk good, a lot.
Good place to start. No, that's kind of the whole point. You know, that's what we do on the podcast. We talk. So if you talk a lot, you're in good company.
There you go.
Would you consider Lisbon your hometown?
Yes, I feel like I have a home in Lisbon. So I have a home in Alcântara and all of my family lives in Lisbon.
Okay, that's where we crossed paths, was in Alcântara on the river.
Exactly. So, that's what I was thinking. I was probably just, you know, getting some training in before New Year's Eve, just got out of my door.
No, it was New Year's Day. It was the night, it was the morning after. So it was even, I was even more impressed. I'm like, okay, New Year's Day, you're out there running.
I know. That's the thing about like track, which is interesting. Like I have a lifestyle. It is not a, you know, it's not a 2 hour thing. Like my job is like it's a lifestyle. Like I spend months, a part of my husband and a part of my family. And I don't get to like, and now this is going to sound terrible. Like, oh my God, she sacrificed so much. And it's not like that. Like I choose to have this lifestyle and I love it, but it's just, it is demanding. So like, you know, I think New Year's Eve, I really didn't do anything special because I had a big race coming up, Millrose Games, I think in New York, early January. So like New Year's Eve, I just, you know, hang out with my family, something very chill. And then, you know, something that will allow me to run like 15 miles the morning after. So I don't know. I was just like, the running, like running professionally, it's a lifestyle. It's sometimes you just run 2 hours, but then it's funny. But like my job is like napping. Like I have to sleep about like 10 hours a day. So it's really funny. It's like almost hilarious when I napped today. That means I was very productive and I did a good job, which is like hilarious, right? Because like this seems like, oh no, you have this like awesome lifestyle, which it is. And I love it, but it's also demanding in other things. Like it's sometimes hard to, you know, with this lifestyle, participate in like family events and like, you know, like even like my husband, he has to like, basically I keep telling you that he's been running like around the world to catch me for the last 10 years. And it's kind of true. Like I just have like the schedule and everything has to go around that. But yeah, I'm very fortunate. I have like a very supportive family, a very supportive husband, and I have an amazing team that helps me to like really be engaged and happy during the entire process. So like, I don't think there are sacrifices because I know this is not going to last forever, but it is, you know, high intensity job, and high demand too, in a way that's like, it doesn't matter how much you train. It's all about like performance. So there is definitely a lot of stress and a lot of like things that you have to work on, not only the body, but also like your mind to be sharp. And whenever you have those like moments, you're ready to go.
And you also have to be away from your cat.
And I also have to be away from Frankie. That's really hard because I can talk with Frankie. Yeah.
Okay. Talking about those hard things. I mean, what are some of the things that you miss about your home, about Portugal, about Lisbon? I don't want to make you like get like depressed or anything, but like, what are some of those things that you miss when you're away?
So to start off, let me tell you this. Like, I stop dwelling about where I am. Like, I move so much that I'm only able to be a professional athlete right now because wherever I am, this is where I want to be. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm in Albuquerque. I'm just doing training. I'm not hanging out with my family. I'm not in Lisbon. I'm not in Seattle. I'm here, and this is great. So, like, I just feel like I'm very in the moment, and that's the only way to really be able to do track and field in a sustainable way, like, mentally wise. But I do miss things about Lisbon. Like, I literally, Trader Joe's just had, like, this amazing thing. They were, like, selling pastéis nata, and I bought all the boxes they had, and I've been eating pastéis nata like every day while I'm here. Cause I love it. It's just like, and it's just some little things. They're like, it just makes you think about home. But I mean, of course, Lisbon is a very, like, Portugal is a very special place. I feel like you can definitely sign what I'm saying. Cause just like, I think the people are very, are welcoming, and it's just like, it's a very safe country. Like, it's crazy. Like, I'm actually a little anxious right now because I just saw, like, the school shooting situation that just happened. And then it's like, it's so crazy. But this year there was like 213 school shootings in the United States. Just like, I don't know. Like, I don't honk here when I'm driving, like, things like that. Cause I just don't know if there is a crazy, you know, like, I don't care, you know, I can hit my car. It's fine. I just, as long as you don't, you know, shoot me. Like, there's other things that normally in Portugal, you don't think about it. And here, like, I'm like very careful about it. Like, I think safety is definitely something that it's just very different from here and from home. Like, so that's something that, you know, like, in a subconscious level, I do feel when I'm here. And then, of course, like, my family, like, sunny days, the weather in Portugal is unreal. Like, I went home in December, and everybody, like, I could tell who's a foreigner and who's Portuguese. The foreigners were with sandals. The Portuguese were with jackets because it's December, right? So it's like super hot out, but, like, you know, you got to bring the winter because it's winter. So I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I also feel like people are in general, like, happy and just very family oriented in Portugal. So that's just like, there you have a big sense of community, while here, like, people move all the time to chase opportunities. It's just like, it's a country that you really have to fight. Like, there is definitely a lot of opportunities in the United States. That's why I'm here and I love it, honestly. But it's just like, family, it's like, you just chase opportunities. And, you know, like, usually your family is like you, your husband, and your kids. Like, you, it's not like extended family. Like, it's very, depending on the situations, of course, like, there's definitely, like, again, like, the United States is huge, but a lot of people move around and they're not close to, like, their extended family. And I feel like in Lisbon, for example, of course I have friends that moved out of Lisbon, but most of the people, just like my family in this case, like, they were born in Lisbon, they stayed in Lisbon, you know, my nephews are born and they are in Lisbon. Like, there's just this community, right? And then you're there and you have friends for 21 years old and for 21 years or 50 years or how many years you were in Lisbon. And that's just crazy, right? Because people don't move as much because they don't chase those, like, opportunities because they have to, like, necessarily, like, survive, because that's another pressure you have in the United States. Like, you, college is not free and health is not free. So, like, you have to make, like, those sacrifices if you want to, like, you know, keep up with market and stuff. So I think it's just, like, without being too much detailed, I think that's like two major differences. And then, like, yeah, so, like, I miss the community aspect. I feel like right now, like, I'm in Seattle for a few years and I do have, like, you know, a group of friends and I have some roots, but I also travel so much. The people that I feel like the most connected is when I go to Lisbon, because I had this 21 years to build those relationships and I trapped them and now they love me. And, you know, even when I'm away, they are like my people, you know, they're the people that know me the best. Even though I've been, like, away for the last 7 years, but yeah, I think that's it.
Are you handling the difference in weather between Lisbon and Seattle? Because Seattle's pretty wet.
Yes. You know, I can't.
Just make, like, the most of it.
It's like, no, it's hard. Like, I'm, like, always the person that has the most, like, layers. And, like, I'm always freezing. My AC, oh, that's another thing. Like, in the United States, you have AC everywhere. And whenever the Americans go to Europe, they're like, where the heck is the AC?
Yeah.
Why you guys don't have a dryer? It's funny.
Yeah, the dryer and the AC. Yeah.
The dryer, the AC, and also, like, whenever you ask, or, like, when you get water, they just have, like, it's literally cubes of ice and then a little bit of water. Like, in the US, like, ice is, like, you know, you always have like so much ice everywhere. It's some funny things. And also, like, I don't know, it's just actually this week I was talking with my athletic trainer about like differences between Europe and Portugal in America. And I was like, look, I would go to the supermarket and whenever I get cashews, I have like cashew lime flavored, barbecue flavors. Like, or of course, when I go home, I have like normal cashews and I hate it because here everything has extra flavor. You eat donuts with flaming hot Cheetos and it's amazing, right? Like, this is like
donuts with Cheetos with flaming hot Cheetos on.
Yes.
Jesus, that's weird.
I know they have a lot of, but it's not weird here. Like, they're like, yeah, this is amazing. It's like, it's really interesting. Like, some aspects of it. I think I got lost again.
No, it's okay. What were some of those? I mean, what were for you were some of like the bigger kind of culture shocks when coming as a young girl over from the sort of family place and the slow pace of life coming over to America on your own? What were some of the things that kind of surprised you?
Okay, so I mentioned that a lot, that I feel like before I moved here, I should have done a crash course about America because I didn't know anything. So whenever I was introduced to people for the first week, I would just kiss people because I thought that's how it goes. Yeah. And that's not how it goes. Like, you don't kiss people. That's just like, honestly, so invasive. And now I get it, but you know, and I didn't know. So I just thought it was like, you know, if you see somebody and you don't, people just handshake or say hi or they hug, which I also thought like hugging was super personal back then. So I feel like I hug my family or friends, but when I meet somebody, I like kiss, which I thought it was like way less like invasive. So that,
yeah, it's super interesting in Portugal that the hug is more personal than the two kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so, yeah, for a lot of cultures, it's the other way around, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kissing everybody. And I mean, I think I'm just like really short and I'm like a girl, so people let me get away with it. But then I just ended up in this very uncomfortable hugs. And I'm like, okay, there's definitely something off here. And then like the culture in the South, like I feel like while I was here, I lived in like three different countries. Cause like, I feel like I'm kind of a local in Albuquerque at this point. Like in Mississippi, they have a different culture in the South. So like, I feel like a lot of girls had the pressure to get married when they go to college. And just like, I think like to have friends, you have to be a part of a group. So if you're not a part of the group, it was just very hard to make friends, which it was really weird to me because I was always super social and I always were able to like make so much friends. And then I went to school and like, wait, people come here to study. They don't come here to like have friends. That's so weird. So and then just the religious part, like, let's just say like it was a little interesting to me, and I feel like I learned how to listen a lot about like a different culture and about different ways of living, and that was like very important because you just think like, oh, there is only one way to do things, that's the way I do it, and it's not like that. There's multiple ways to do things, and people based on their culture, they follow like this like kind of script. So for in the South, for example, not for everybody, of course, because, you know, you have a lot of like foreigners but there was a lot about like, you know, you got to be engaged. Like if you have a relationship, it should be you should be with somebody just to marry, you know, like, and by junior year should be engaged and like having a family. And it was also, I got some, not from everybody, of course, but like some vibes about like, you know, the God, man is subservient to God and the woman is subservient to man. And that was something that personally, as a very independent woman and like pursuing my education, it was just not really aligned with what I believe and what I would like to my life. I was dating the guy that I'm married right now, but I was dating him for like a few years then, like 3 years or 2 years. We did long distance while I was in the US. And like everybody thought we had the worst relationship because it's like you're dating this guy for 2 years and you don't have a ring. And I'm like, what's wrong with that? Like, I'm in college. I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't want to, you know, like, I think we're going to make this work. And it worked because clearly I got married with him, but there was just like some concepts that was just like, people will like think, oh, this is so weird. Like she has the worst relationship. Like she has this crazy relationship from far and she's not even like committed, like engaged. So some things like that, I guess. But then also like they're extremely nice, I feel, in the South, like super, super nice. People make eye contact to you all the time when they walk in the street. And that was very freaky to me. Like, why are you looking at me? And people smile. And I'm like, ooh, ooh, this is so weird. Like, so like, it's interesting too. Cause I feel like, honestly, I feel like Americans in general are very friendly and nice and helpful too. Like, and I don't know, like in Lisbon, people don't really make eye contact to you when you're like walking in the street or something like that, just to be nice. It's like, oh, if you're looking at me, you're creeping me, which is weird.
In Portugal, we have quite an interesting dynamic where you've got that closeness of family and, you know, your neighbors and these kind of things. But there's also discretion where people kind of let you live your life and there's not too much judgment. You know, you don't know if your neighbor goes to church or not. They don't make a big song and dance about it in mm-hmm. Portugal. In the US, there is that religious aspect of it. And there is that sort of in your faceness. Did you feel that difference between the two cultures?
I think so. I'm talking about Mississippi. On the other hand, I feel like in Seattle, I feel like Mississippi, people are way more conservative than in Lisbon. Mm. And then in Seattle, I feel people were just way more open-minded. And there's like another like level of like being like liberal and like accepting differences and like advocating for like causes. So it's just interesting because I think Lisbon is a little bit in the middle, you know, from I feel like it was just in Mississippi, I felt like, oh my God, it's just so weird. They're so conservative. Like, but then on Seattle, I'm like, oh my God, they're so like liberal and they have like all of these ideas. And it's just like interesting because when you emerge into a different culture, you just learn so much about yourself, right? Because we all have our like boundaries and our concepts and our scripts, like I was saying. And then you're like, wait, like there's this new script. And when you're living in it, you just feel like this seems right to you. Or I understand why people think that way. And you, I don't know, I feel like you just learn how to be more empathetic with like other things because we don't even like, at least like growing up, I just, you know, just live in your own world. You struggle with your own things and with your own culture and your own like social like environment, but then you're put in a different situation. And I just feel like it makes you be more empathetic with like other issues and like more involved. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for my experience. I feel like I'm still growing and I have been having this amazing opportunities just to like know the world better, know how things work and learn more about other people, you know, outside of my like little like world and about the things that I believe and just be more empathetic with others, which I think it's really important. I feel like if we all a little bit more, you know, accepting of each other, we have like a much better world. And sometimes we just like resistant because if it's something different, we're like, oh, this is not what I want for me. It's like, yeah, it's fine, but there's multiple ways to live life. So let's just understand like how people do it. So yeah, I think like Seattle, for example, which is very liberal, like very open-minded and so many other things. Like I feel like in schools right now, you start having in like in gyms and stuff, you have like gender, like just non-gender bathrooms. So like kids don't have to struggle whenever they go to, like if they have a gender identity, like they think beyond like, what can we do to make sure like kids don't deal with this? Like the LGBTQ community, it's really well accepted in Seattle and very like, they do a lot of things to make sure they're like, you know, like being in a good, positive environment. There is also a lot of concerns with the environment itself, like with the recycling. I feel like when I got here, there was like three other different recycling things. And like, wait, do I have to go to school again to figure it out? Like how does Seattle work? I think just people are not as warm as they were in the South or as they're in Lisbon, but I don't know. I just feel like they do have like a lot of self-awareness about like the environment and the people around them.
Interesting. You've got quite a mixed background. Like your family's got quite an interesting combination of things. You want to tell us a little bit about your folks and your background as a family?
Yeah. So, okay. My parents were born in Mozambique, but my dad was basically, my grandparents from my dad's side were Portuguese and they had their family there. And
so that's the Freitas.
Freitas. Yeah. And then the pen comes from my mom and my grandparents, they were Chinese and there was like, you know, first generation of their family in Mozambique. So, and then whenever the independence happened, my parents went to Portugal and they just had their family there. So I'm like literally 50-50. I'm 50% European because I did like the inside tracker thing and 50% Asian. And then my parents had two daughters and they thought they were set for life. They were very happy. My mom always wanted to have a kid. And then she never wanted to have just a, you know, only child. But then when she was 40, she had a little surprise. And I like to say surprise, but it was more like an accident. And ta-da, I showed up and I have two sisters. They're 11 and 14 years old. And I guess like my mom, it's honestly funny. I talk a lot about that and she hates it, but I only say it because, you know, I never really felt it, but she was definitely not very happy to have a kid when she was 40. She was not looking forward to that, but I don't know. I had a very loving family. They did a good job on hiding that I was an accident, I guess, at least, you know. And yeah, it was really cool. And my dad, so he retired early too. And I feel like I had a different experience with my dad than my sisters, because my dad was really able to like spend like the last 10 years of his life, because he was retired, like following me around, supporting my dreams, while my sisters, they were, you know, like they were already like independent by the time my dad retired. So like they didn't have like as present, they didn't have his present as much as I did.
Is your husband Portuguese?
Yes. So okay. Yeah, his name is Guilherme.
Okay, but, William. Yeah, nice.
But no one can say Guilherme, right?
Yes, it's William.
Yeah, so I baptized him here. So he's G, which he doesn't love it, because he's like, it could definitely be Gui, which was like the Portuguese name, but I don't know. I just went with G and now everybody calls him G. And, you know, in the beginning he hated, but now just like, you know, grew on him.
I mean, so with this, you've been in the States for quite a while now. You've been exposed to different parts of America as well. You've got this background where your folks have been in Mozambique and knowing all about what they've been through. What are the things, mostly life you grew up in Portugal, what are the things that you appreciate now, knowing what you know about growing up in a place like Lisbon, growing up in Portugal?
So I love like going to public school, for example, because I think it's just like, it was really cool to be like public schools in Portugal. They're like good public schools, most of the public schools. So you don't have to go to like, you know, to a private school to put your kids in private school to make sure they have a okay education and they have an opportunity to go to college. So I think there's this immense value for that, because when you go to school, you just have like, you know, mixture of like different backgrounds, different people. And I think like more than what you learn, it's interesting to like, I'm all for like diversity and like being in contact with different realities. And I think like starting in a young age, that's important. And I feel like Portugal is much better than that, because in the US, people like mostly go to like, you know, if you make X amount of money, you're not going to put your kids, if you have an opportunity to not put your kids in public school, you're not going to put your kids in public school, because it's just like going to college, you have to have scholarships and have to have a certain GPA, and just like the whole like system is made. So like, you know, and you try to make your kids, of course, like go to school and have like, you know, a good education to be able to access like this really good universities. So in Portugal, I feel like the system is just like more simple. Like in the end game, like the public school is like the best school. Like, so you apply after high school and you try to go like to normal med school or whatever, and that's like the prestigious schools. They're not necessarily like private schools, which is like, I feel like in Portugal, in the US, like it's just a different system. So it just like from a young age makes like parents like choose different paths. And then safety, right? I just talked about it. Like there was, I never, like my parents never dropped me off at school and thinking they're not going to see me again because a maniac gets into the school and starts shooting people, right? So like it's just a, like the fact that there's like firearms available, it's just very scary. And you just don't know, like I was saying, like, I don't hunk here. I just like, when I pay attention when I'm in the supermarkets, and like, it's just crazy, like little things that you like worry about here. And they just don't, like, you don't think about it at home. Like at home, like I go out at night and it's fine. Like if I want to get the bus back, I can get the bus back. If I want to Uber back, I can Uber back. Like I never feel like unsafe. And I mean, here there's just things that you don't do, like, because it's just like not safe at all. So I think like those are like definitely like, you know, the most negative things about here, just, and I don't know, like I really enjoyed like being able to grow and having like so much diversity around me, and like even like in high school and like college, you know, I have like friends from like so many different backgrounds, and I feel like it just promotes more diversity, the system in Portugal, because education and health is something that is available for everybody, while here you got to be a go-getter, right? So like there is this need to make sure like your kids are having like the best scenario. Mm-hmm. And of course, only people with money can put their kids in like a really better position, in a good position. There is one way, and that's what I love, that you can crush the system, is through sports. So like if you're really talented at something, you get scholarships. That's basically how I studied. That's how I went to America. My parents had no way to pay me my education to go to school here if it wasn't through a scholarship. And I do love that. I do love that they, you know, on the other hand, in America, if you're really good at one thing, like you do get advantage. You get scholarships if you're really good in school. You got scholarships if you're really good in sports. And I think that's super valuable. And that's why you have an NCAA system. And, you know, like the sports here is such an important thing. And I feel like a lot of people were able to access their education and like come from like difficult backgrounds and being able to have like a college education, which is huge in the United States, anywhere, right? You need a college education the days we live right now because of sports. So I think that's another thing that I love about it. And just like whenever you're like playing, whenever you're running, it doesn't matter where you come from. We're all humans, right? We're here just to test our physiological and like mental capabilities. And I love that. I think like sports is a really interesting way to bring some sort of equality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of my point of view on the subject.
I mean, it sounds like you just had a cool childhood and were able to be a girl and play and do your things and not have to worry too much when you're growing up in Portugal.
Yeah. I don't feel like I never stressed out like, oh, I'm not going to be able to go to college because I'm not going to have a scholarship, or I'm not going to, like, I knew I would say I was, you know, I'm going to be able to go to college. It's fine. Like I didn't have to work in the summer. I worked in the summers because I wanted to, not because, oh, I have to pay for college. So I think that's Portugal. Like, yeah, I really enjoyed, growing up in Portugal. And I feel like they don't have NCAA system, but they do have Esporte Escolar, which is like for like middle school and a little bit of high school. And it's crazy how much people do sports just for having that system in place. So I kind of wish in a part, like there is on the other thing, because in Portugal, you don't get rewarded to be good in anything. This is a hard statement, not in anything, but let's just talk about sports because that's my field. I feel like going to college and trying to make like profession track and field like in a high level was always a difficulty. Like people think I'm distracted. I'm not concentrated. I was in PT school and I should be just focused on PT school. They thought like I wasn't taking serious my education. While here, like I went to my, you know, accounting class and everybody like stand up. The professor put my picture on the like screen because I won SECs, which is like a regional school thing. Like professors send me like notes because I was missing class for going to meets to represent school. It's just like, and they were so happy and so proud that I was doing both things. So there's definitely that cultural issue, right? That in Portugal, I struggle to be able to do some of my exams because they were in the same dates of like some of like international competitions that I was representing Portugal. And here I'm doing like the school small little things and people think it's amazing because I'm doing both and professors want to help me because there is a lot of value in pursuing your passion. And I feel like here people are more aware of that. In Portugal, it's like, no, I mean, for you to be successful, you got to be engineer, doctor, or, you know, I don't know, professor or whatever. Like there is no like incentive to be like, you know, you can be really good in arts or like painting, that's amazing, you know, or like you can be really good in the sport, or just like there is not like it, those things look, they're seen as distractions for like the main important thing. Mm-hmm. And that has a huge impact on like culture about like how like parents receive track and field. I had to educate my parents about being an athlete because they thought that school was the most important thing. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I don't want to finish my education in Portugal. I want to go. But again, I still came to the United States to study because it wasn't not possible in my head to just dedicate my life to running.
Yeah.
But it does take, like, I did educate my parents a lot on sports and about like, but it was challenging sometimes because, you know, like sometimes it's just like, why are you like not studying and you're just spending weekends away for what? To run fast, what that's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And it gave me a life with purpose. You know, maybe I wouldn't be like a professional runner and, you know, being able to like make a very comfortable living with it, because you just don't know when you're like 12, right? But it's just so important to like incentivize your kids to, you know, pursue their dreams, pursue what they want to be. Like, that's, there's immense value on that. Even like for future, like I know like a lot of my teammates that ended up not being professional athletes, just like doctors, professors, engineers, nurses, they brought so much of the passion from sports to their careers and to their life. And that's just like, I think that's really important. Of course, you need to make money, and that's really important, and have education, but it's important to live a life with meaning. And I think sometimes we lose sight of it.
Yeah. What did it mean to you, you know, growing up in Lisbon, your family, you know, with, you know, having to like leave and come back, and that relationship and all the sacrifices that you made, what did it mean for you finally being able to represent Portugal on the biggest stage, being able to represent your country? How did that feel?
It's really special. And I feel like the sacrifices, and I think about it like every day, like whenever I'm like tired and I want to go for a run, or whenever like I have to nap and I'm just like distracted and I want to be on my phone, like those small actions is what really brings you to like the big stages. It's just not the day itself. I think it was important for me this 2021 Olympic Games to be very grateful to, because sports, it's brutal. And I feel like the Olympic Games, like a lot of the athletes leave very frustrated. And I just really wanted to celebrate like all my choices, everything I've done leading to that moment. So I'm a big, I'm like, I really think like you should, like with sports, you don't deserve anything. You got to go and earn it. So like sometimes you just feel, and it's not only in sports, it's in life. You think you make those huge sacrifices and then life is going to like, again, like hug you and give you like everything you wanted. That's just not how it works. The fact that you prepare yourself better is just going to put yourself in a position, in a better position, but most likely you got to earn it. It's just not going to land on your lap. And that's because it's so special. And that's because when you see somebody like winning, it's just like, it's incredible. You know, it's just like, it's, but winning sometimes it's not just finish first. Winning sometimes is being able to celebrate your journey. And I had to learn that. In 2016, I was devastated. And then this 2020, I told myself, look, if I'm going to go to Olympic Games, if I go through all of this and I'm not even able to celebrate my experience, my choices, my lifestyle, like all the good that I have, I don't want to be, I'm not going to, I literally made that promise to myself. I wasn't sure if I was going to keep doing track and field after the Olympics, but I did learn how to celebrate. Like I had so much joy. I was so present. And it was like an incredible moment in my life. And I felt grown. I felt very grown. I felt like at that point, I wasn't trying to impress my 12-year-old self. That is like, you can do everything. I was trying to impress my 40-year-old self and telling you, you know, you have what you have. And you have so much. You have this beautiful journey. If you have a medal, that's what I want. I'm very ambitious. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel it's really important to be able to celebrate the little things too. And sometimes the little things are not that little. Like it was being an Olympics, it's being a semifinalist and, you know, being in the best shape of my life when it mattered. And like, I don't know, having my family and like my husband, like basically supporting me, and him, like he just left everything to be able to be by my side every step of the way. And those are things that you should celebrate. Like my teammates, like, I don't know, like everything, like it just kind of, and also like being able to live my dream. Like I wake up every day and I'm like, I can't believe this is my job. Like, this is amazing. I love it. But it's a hard job. It is, but it's amazing. I'm very grateful and very present. And this is where I want to do. This is where I want to be right now.
Amazing. You make your country very proud. So Thank you so much for working so hard and doing what you're doing, and always representing Portugal with this big smile. You know, that's like what everybody remembers. So it's a beautiful thing. For you, I mean, one of the things that we often talk about on the podcast is our Portugueseness. You know, that stuff that is within us that's Portuguese. You know, our Portugueseness. What do you think? What part of that Portugueseness do you keep with you, and what part of it do you think helps you in your day-to-day life as a competitor in the difficult moments? What do you think are some of those Portugueseness things that pull you through?
So So it's funny, and I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound so bad because I'm talking about myself, but my teammates think all the, and my husband too, think all the Portuguese are like the best people in the world because we do care about community, right? So that's just not something that you can put an effort on, but we really care about each other. And like, they're like, oh my God, all the Portuguese are so nice. Like, all the Portuguese, you mean like the two Portuguese, you know, right? Me and my husband. But I do think we do like, I know what they mean. And I'm sorry, this sounds so bad. It sounds like so cocky, but because we do have like Portuguese, we do have a good sense of community, you know, like family is important. Friends are family. And I think that's something that it's very Portuguese, I guess. Like, we just really care about community. We like to put people, and I guess it's more like everybody likes that, but I don't know, like having people around the table for hours and like bringing people together. That's like something that we really enjoy, you know, like, so that I think that's definitely something that I think it's very Portuguese, like just like the community aspect. I feel like we're very community oriented, family oriented people. And I'm like very proud of being Portuguese and have that with me.
What do you want people to know about your country, about your home?
I mean, I honestly don't want people to know too much because otherwise everybody's going to move and the house pricing is going to be insane. So I'm like, you stay wherever you are. I don't know. Like, I think, I don't know. Portugal is just like, there is so much history. You have like the beach and you have the city and like, it's such a safe place. And like, you have so many fun things to do all the time. It's just like, I've traveled so much and like, it's just really hard to beat Lisbon. Like, yeah. Lisbon is just like a very like, and I honestly, I'm like kind of guilty because I do spend a lot of time in Lisbon. I haven't been much like living in other places in Portugal outside of Lisbon. And I'm pretty sure there's like, you know, amazing places outside of Lisbon and like other cities that are very good to live in. But I don't know, it's just like, it's just so hard to beat. And for me, it's just like also the community aspect. It's like, you're going to move there and you're going to have a family and you're going to have friends. They're going to be family because this is how we are. Like, we are welcoming. We invite people over, you know, and we like, we grill sardines and we drink beer, and that's like it's we bond over, yeah, that. Yeah.
If you come back to Portugal and run in Portugal, please can you run for Sporting and not for the other guys? You know, I just need to put that as a, that's my only request.
okay well, we'll see in the future, maybe.
okay we'll I'm gonna leave this on the podcast. We'll have this as proof, you know, that there was a possibility that it could happen. Yes. How many pastéis nata have you eaten in the last?
A lot. Way too many. I also keep telling myself, you know, food with love doesn't have calories. And I'm not obsessed. Like, I'm definitely not obsessed person with calories, but I live a healthy lifestyle. And I got back from a meet from LA and I remember just, I had like a healthy salad and I sat in the couch with four pastéis nata.
You see?
Maybe four, maybe six.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, I'm just going to make them all at once because, you know, I don't want to waste energy and I can have them like for the next 2 days. They didn't make it.
You, it at least you burn them off. You know, if I go and eat five pastéis nata, I have a problem. You know, I have a problem. Anyway, Marta, one thing. One thing that you want people to remember and take away from our conversation.
I want people to remember that, like, honestly, pursuing your passion matters. Like, whatever you love, like, it matters, even if people are not super supportive of it. And I'm not telling, again, like, that you're going to, like, invest and you're going to have all you wanted. But you're going to find meaning of it, you know? And I feel like I'm a little, I went to the NCAAs and I made the Olympic team, but it would have been all worth it if I was investing in track and field, even if I didn't turn into an Olympic athlete. Like, there's just so much value in like doing things that have your heart, that just gives so much meaning to your life. And it's interesting too, if you share your passion with somebody, you have no idea the impact that has on other people's passions, even if their passion is not the same. So that's kind of what I want people to think about it. It's like, yes, it's worth it to invest on things you care and you're passionate about it. Most doesn't mean you're going to have everything you wanted and you're going to turn that into a career and have a fantastic life. But that shouldn't be the end goal. The end goal is like investing your time in things that you love. And everything we invest our time, we're going to become better at. So if you invest your time, it could be a relationship. If you invest your time in a relationship, you're going to turn, you know, better in a relationship. If you invest your time in knowledge, you're going to be more knowledgeable. If you invest your time in like a sport or like a specific skill, you're just going to become better at it. And I think that's a good way to live.
Awesome. That's good advice. Speaking of sharing your passion, how can people follow you and keep up to date and connect with you online?
So I'm not honestly that strong on like social media, but I do have an Instagram page and I post like stories and a little bit of my journey and my races and stuff. So maybe follow me on Instagram, Marta Pen Freitas.
Okay. So we'll put a link in the show notes so that people can follow you online.
Yeah, thank you.
Marta, a question that we ask all of our guests, Portugal, the simple life, why?
Because it's just a country full of positive energy. I feel like there is such a community aspect in Portugal and just the light and the streets and the culture and the food. It's just like, I don't know. For me, of course, I grew up in Portugal, but I've been so many places. I've never been in a place like, you know, Portugal. I do feel like it's just a good way to enjoy like the little things and, you know, make big things happen to you. So yeah, that's my awesome. Take.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm going to let you call it.
Okay. So that's a wrap.
So thank you once again to Marta, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please subscribe, share with your friends, give us a thumbs up. And please leave a comment or a review. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And as we say in Portugal, Força. Welcome to the simple life.